Psalm 19, verse 7, and we started this morning, and we'll continue on with the thought, where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I'm talking to you about broken people. There's some things that we said that you can never undo of the past, but you can be forgiven. And it's very important that you understand forgiveness, because if you've not been forgiven, how can you give forgiveness? A lot of people today are struggling because they don't know what it is to really have their position settled in Christ. A lot of people are living a probationary life instead of a salvation life. There's a difference. What do you think on that? A probationary life versus a salvation life. It's a deep thought. It's not one that some would always agree with. But if you don't know you're in Christ, you've got a problem. If you don't know you've been forgiven, how can you forgive others? And then when you hold yourself as a victim, then you get yourself in trouble, because you've got to be able to release the party that's offended you. Otherwise, I don't mean that they go scot-free, but you go scot-free because your heart is at peace. You've got to be at peace. There's a lady that was visiting here yesterday morning, and she thought I was giving the victim all the rights. And putting all the pressure on the victim and letting the offender go free. And I tried to make it plain, and I want to make it plain again and again. We're not saying the offender doesn't have something to pay. But I can't help the offender. And if there's an offender in this room, well, then the offender ought to go make things right, because Matthew tells us how you deal with that with service, right? But I'll come along those lines maybe towards the end of the day today, one of the last services. But we're dealing with those who need to forgive, not those who have offended. You see, most of us have in our heart, we have harbored things against others that we need to release so God can do His work. We get in the way of God when you don't forgive. And we begin to do a work that's not our work to do. Well, I'm talking to you this morning. I talked to you already about Samson, how he lost his eyes. But we see that there was a revival, if you want to call that, in his life. But he never got his eyes back. We saw the little girl in 2 Kings chapter 5, the young maid, who was taken from her land, from her parents, from her family, her loved ones, her nation, her culture, brought in to Assyria there, and there she stood. And instead of cursing Naaman, she blessed him. You can't do that if you harbor bitterness in your heart. You can't do that if you have ill will in your heart. Because you can say, "He deserves to die. My mom and dad died, or I was taken from my country, can't go back to see my family. Who knows what happened when they came in and took them?" According to the scriptures, if you read how Assyria dealt with Israel, it was not a nice dealings. Well, and now we come to one that is quite shocking to me. You know, I think I'm going to have you to turn to the Revelation before I get to this next story. Revelation, you'll turn please to chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, we see a story. We see the seven churches laid out. I like local church so much, I'm tempted to say, notice they're not seven denominational churches. They're seven independent, autonomous churches. But I'm not going to say that, though I'm tempted to, okay? Okay, look if you would please at verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Would you read the next phrase with me? Because thou hast left thy first love. This next story, a very interesting story to me. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, there's a young man. He's come on the scene. He just had taken care of the big man from the Philistines, Goliath. He took care of that giant, and he took care of him in the name of the Lord. God gave him the battle, and then David became quite well known. In Saul, chapter 18, have you look with me, please, at, maybe I'll have you look with me, please, around verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. See David's testimony. He went out and came in, which means they saw him and his work day by day. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. That's a good employee verse. If you work for somebody or if you're under somebody's leadership, it's a very good employee verse. It says, behave himself wisely in all of his ways. Good thing to do if you work for somebody. Wherefore when Saul, verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Someone said that leadership is inspiring. It's not a position as much as it's a lifestyle with people, and God raises you up. Isn't that something? He did so here in David's life. His hands on his life. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king? It came to pass at the time that when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. We see that here in this little verse, or this little passage here, that Merab was promised, and he doesn't get her. David's not going to get her. But he went out before him, and Saul says, I'm going to have him killed. I'll put him out before the Philistines, and we'll take care of him this way. He'll get killed. But then he saw it's not working. God's with him everywhere he turns. Look at verse 27 now. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. Remember, David was asked for 100 foreskins from the Philistines for Michal. Saul thought that was going to be be for certain that David would get killed trying to get 100 foreskins from the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, 200 of them instead of 100, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. We'll go to the story now, but this is really David's first love. Can I switch it another way? This is really Michael's first love. David. She's the daughter of a king. David's anointed to be king. She's of the tribe of Benjamin. Saul's daughter, Michal, loves David. Marriage looks pretty good. Looks pretty solid. Saul's going to try to kill David. But you're going to see she's going to hide him. Right or wrong, you've got to give her credit. She's watching out for her hubby. She loves him. The Bible says she loves him. And we know something about David. We know David loves her. We know David cares an awful lot about her, because as we begin to see the story develop, we'll find that chapter 25, let's see what happens. David's in exile. Saul's driven him out of town. He's away now, and finally gets totally out of the country, basically. Look in chapter 25. It says in chapter 25, verse 42, "And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass, and five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives." And let me stop here for a moment. Let me remind you, in the Old Testament economy, please don't get confused here. David will commit adultery later. David has several wives. I was talking to a group of Christians the other week, and I said, ask you a question. Is David committing adultery with these multiple wives? No. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Whether you and I agree with the polygamy today and what's going on is one thing, but I'm telling you, there was polygamy then, and God did not call him an adulterer having the two or three wives here, right? He committed adultery when he took another man's wife. Keep that in the back of your mind so you rightly divide the word of truth. But notice what it says, what it goes on to say in chapter 25, verse 44. "But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was at Galim." What a mess. Look what's happened now. Saul took David's wife, and I'm telling you, Michal was his first love. David was her first love. And we know that David loves Michal. We'll see in a few moments, because he's going to become king, and let's see what he does with Michal. She's very special to him. Notice what happens, chapter 3, verse 13. "And he said, well, I will make a league with thee." He's talking to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, actually, when it comes down to it. "I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is that thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband," second marriage, strange thing. Law said not to do this, by the way. "Even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish." She comes home. I want you to also think about something. Can I role play this just for a moment? Jana and Timothy, won't you come? You're the safest to use for right now. This is David, and this is his love, Michal. Michal had become, Josiah, come here, Faulty. I can use my people so I don't put you in shock. The other day, Dad had cardiac arrest when he thought I was calling him up to the front. Come over here. But her dad... Am I your dad? King Saul. What a place to be. I take her. He's away. Go over to your exile. Go over towards the piano there. He's in the exile. And I was given to Faulty. Oh, do you have a job to play? Well, he's coming back into the kingdom now. Things have changed. Saul's dead and things are being kind of... And he says, I want my wife back. Aaron, would you say it like that? How would you say it again? Take two. Go. Let's hear it. Okay. That's getting better. You got to go back. I'm dead. I already given her away. She's gone to Faulty. What a name. Faultiel at one spot. It was her fault. Got it? She was there. Not really her fault. She is there with him. And all of a sudden, one thing's important. How many children does she have? She doesn't have five. It will say later that she had five that she took from her. It's interesting. She doesn't have any. She'll take her sister's, Merib's. That's what you see later. That's another story in itself. But how many does she have right now? She's not even adopted any, so to speak. How many does she have? So see, let me get a little baby here. A little 11-year-old. She's not afraid. What's your first name? Korah. With a K or a C? C. Okay. Well, see, if they had a baby, got bad news. She couldn't have gone back to David. Matter of fact, you'll never find a woman in the Bible once she had a baby that she ever got remarried. Did you know that? Go through the scriptures. I've tried it many times. I tried to find once. Now, a man's remarried. But a woman, once she had a child, never remarried. I know that's tough on some, but that's the way, that's what the Bible laid out. You know why? What does Proverbs 31 say? She will do him good all the days of her life. Remember the seven brothers of the Sadducees? The Sadducees used the illustration to Jesus. Remember that? Why could they keep getting married? Why could all the boys end up with the same girl? Because no one had a child before. It would have stopped if one of them had a child. Because the law required for her to bring up that child in behalf. Remember Ruth? Why Ruth could get married? It's because she didn't have a child. After her husband had passed away. Remember that? So we know in this case here, she could not have had a child, because then at that point, this daughter of the king, this would be some type of an heir of some sort. You're not here, I'm sorry. By the way, her husband, David, she was with him. Come here. She's not here either. They hadn't had a baby. They had had no child. You're not here. What are you doing here? You're just doing what you're supposed to do, right? Okay. Won't you sit here, pro? Sit in that little chair, because I'll probably use you again before too long. Bring me my wife. I look at this passage. Faith Till, I have a problem. Because ultimately what's going to happen? She's going to go back to David, but anybody knows what he's going to do? Anybody know? Who knows the story?
Follow weeping.
There she goes. Go ahead. Oh, honey. Go home. I mean, that's the story. I'm going to put it in a little, real quick nutshell. That's the story. I could just, you know, girls, don't marry a Waldo, Oswald, or a Beauregard. And I use those names, hoping that anybody's named that in here. Get a man. A little deciding factor. Get a man. I mean, he may not be big and bold and tough and speak like a cowboy or something like that, but hey. At least when he says something, you know he means what he says, and he says what he means. But I can't knock him, because maybe he's really in love with her. Maybe she's in love with him. Maybe. Because we'll see some stories. Thank you, Faith Till. Stay up here. Get back over here, though. You can sit down, Josiah. I'm sorry. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Jana and Timothy. Look at 2 Kings 16. okay, this is your time to shine. What would be a big day for you? Brother Dale, what would be a big day for you? What would be like the greatest day of your life? How would you say the greatest day of your life? What would you call it? What would you receive or get? If you got $1 million, would that be a great day of your life? He's not all wrapped up in money. Okay. To be with your wife. So romantic. That's nice. Okay. That is big for... you see, that's big in David's life. That's what he's thinking. But he just had the greatest accomplishment of his whole life. He just got the Ark of the Covenant back in town. What is a big day up here? Hodag Day or something like that? Is that a big day? I don't know if you have something like that here. I mean, what's a big day here around? There's a big party, excitement, everything goes on. Country Fest. Hey, oh, wow. Okay, what else? What's another big thing around here? Sell down at the Harvest health food store. Is that a big day? Or where's Brother Dan? Cuts pallets in half for a day. Half price pallets. I don't know. What is it? Noah, Toyota gives a special for the day. Gives you half a day off. You get excited, right? Not where you were. Well, what's a big day? Come on, somebody, you tell me something. What would be a great day if it's for you? What would be a big day? Brother Rody? Look like you had something in your mind.
I was going to say Valentine's.
There's a lot of romantic people right here, Brother Tim. He lives all year for Valentine's Day. We found that out. She only kiss you one day a year? Oh, I can take you to what the world would say. You know, you look around with the 4th of July. That's a pretty big day for some folks, right? And some of the county fairs in some places, big for some of the country people. You know, that's a big day, kind of like you said there, the country fest. And other things, but big day, I can think of all type of things or people who folks, I'm telling you, whatever you think would be a big day, this was David's biggest day of his life. The Ark of the Covenant's in. Man, he's out there dancing around. He's excited. He's like Brother Tim when he's running around here a while ago. That baby on his shoulder, you know. He was all excited, all happy, and the little children enjoying that. I think it was Doug was in front of you, right? Or something like that, the baby. Excited! This guy was excited! They gave a flagon of wine and... I'm going to misquote it here, so don't let me do that. It says, "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael's daughter looked through a window." Go ahead, walk over here, pull back the curtain. Pull back the curtain. Look out there at him. And do what it says, okay? Be looking out. May not have had a curtain, just looked out the window. And through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Still motion. Come on. Do something. Aaron, aren't you glad I didn't choose you? Leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Despise him in your heart. How does that look on your face? That's pretty good because women can hide it sometimes, you know. Hi, dear. Okay. Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing looking at him like that? He's over there dancing. I better help you. Okay, can you be a puppet for a moment? He's dancing and leaping. Yay! Oh, whoa! And he's excited. All excited. But folks, what I'm trying to drive home, it's the greatest day of his life. Michael's over here. She's looking at him. She's cursing the project. Give her curse the project. Do you know what I mean by cursing the project? Let me give you some projects. Just throw it on the side here. This is a little rabbit trail, but it's an important rabbit trail because I wrote it down in my notes, okay? You ever work for somebody and under your breath you say, what's wrong with him? That is a dumb decision. I got to go do it, but I wouldn't do it this way. You ever done that? You ever despised your employer in your heart? Think about it. Have you ever despised? You're cursing the project because I'm going to tell you, at the end of the week, guess who's going to be paying your bills? Guess who's going to give you the money, to help you pay your bills for working for him? Don't curse the project, my friend. Another way of saying it is don't bite the hand that feeds you. She is looking out the window there. She's seeing what he's doing, how he's carrying on. And she, get that good look. Like you like to give to Joseph, Paul Michael sometimes, okay? There you go, that look. Give it to him. That's her 11-year-old brother. Okay, look at him. Let him have it. Despised him. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle. And David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Okay, bless everybody. Just hold your hand out and say, bless. Just don't do this bit, okay? Bless. As soon as David had made an end of the offering, he blessed them and he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as the women as men, to every one of them a cake of bread. Give them a cake of bread. Have it done. I'm sure he didn't do it by himself. He said, okay, guys, give them bread. A good piece of flesh. Any vegans in here? Doug, you a vegan? Okay. Thought I saw your hand raised in the glare there. I'm not preaching against vegans. I like vegans myself. I need to be a little less flesh, if you know what I mean. A good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Wow. You know what David's saying? It's what Aaron said last week when he was going home. I'm going to interpret it for you, Aaron, okay? He says, baby, I'm coming home. He's saying to Michael, baby, I'm coming home. And he's got stuff with him, and he's walking there, and he's excited. His sweetheart, he loves her. He's going home. And folks, this is why we know he loves her. You know why? He's going home. Remember he had these other wives? But guess who's at the house? Michael. Not Abigail. Michael. Not Hinoam. Michael. That's his housewife. That is the girl he loves. That's the woman he wants to be with. And he's going there. He has no idea that she's been looking out the window. Those laser beam eyes again. No idea. It's the biggest day in David's life. So David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. Ooh, man, when that happens. You ever had that to happen to you husbands? You come and before you got to the door, she was there to meet you. Oh, God bless you, ladies, when you come and meet them like that little half husky dog I have. Actually, Timothy's. But he doesn't know one Timothy from the other, I think. When I show up, I walk in there, that dog's jumping around, all happy, little girl dog, you know. She's all happy jumping around. Matter of fact, you got to be careful. I keep her, she jumps just outside my reach each time, which I like that. I don't want her all over me. But she's happy as can be. Can I pick on any lady here and say, is that how you meet your husband when he comes home? Boy, Papa's home. Oh, Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Oh, this is good. Look who's home. Daddy. Man, I tell you what, a little bit of that, and Daddy come home early from work when he can. He'll cut back that overtime when it's possible. He'll like that. You say, you're crazy. I know. I just believe the Bible. Y'all married? I don't want to pick on you if you're not. Okay, you're not married. Can I say it to you? No plans? Oh, I don't ask that either. That's not polite. Okay? Let's find out. Noah, you're the safest to use. You're married. You think so. Okay. Noah, you're married? Okay. Coming home. Guess what the Bible says your wife is supposed to be to you? Proverbs chapter 5. The loving hind and pleasant roe. That's what the Bible says. So Brother Dale comes home and his little wife comes up to him and she nudges under his arm like a little... You ever had that happen? You sat down, that little dog, I sat there, that dog jumped up in my lap, come up and put his head up under my arms, and it just wants to be right there close to me. That's what the Bible says, let her be as a loving hind. Brother Tim, am I quoting it right? In Pleasant Row. So David's coming home, and that's what he's kind of hoping for. That type of a wife. He loves her. She took good care of him before, and he's coming home. She's despising him in her. Heart. Now, by the way, guys, you ought to take care of your pet too. Don't put her on a chain and make her mad. But I don't see that with David. David loves this woman. He's coming home. He's all happy. Happy. He's coming home. He's happy. And he's coming home. She meets him at the door. Okay. Go ahead. Just point that finger. You know how you get those bony? Not like that. Like that. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. And knock off the smirk. Because I promise you the smirk wasn't there. And he comes up there. And guess what happens to David? So he's thinking about, I'm coming home to my pet. I'm coming home to my lover. I'm coming home to my love. I'm coming home to the woman I love. And we're going to have a party. How many of you ladies, I'm going to switch it for a moment. How many of you ladies have been waiting during the day and said, I can't wait till husband gets home. I can't wait. I'm excited for him to get home. And he comes in and he's like a grizzly bear. And he takes everything out of what you wanted to see. You were excited. Ever happened, ladies? Has it? Never? Wow, you're a different type of people around here. You're... Oh, so you have come home like a bear and destroyed everything. Oh, that's probably the problem. I didn't realize that. That's true. Maybe the rest of you men are so good that you've never come home with a bad spirit. Isn't it strange how that devil can jump in your car before you get home? Jump on your back? He gets there and all of a sudden, I mean, he's happy. This is the other way around. The man's happy. He gets home and, how many women... Husband walks in the door. You know what your children's been doing all day? What your children's been doing all day. Let's put it in the right emphasis. I thought they were our children, honey. They're your children. They act like you. They talk like you. They cause me... Wait. Here he comes home. He's getting this. And folks, this is the saddest part. And this is why I want you to see this. Because... David loved Michael. David loved Michael, I believe, very, very much. David returned to bless his household, and Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Now she's cursing the project. His greatest days, she's slamming him for it. But why? There's a dearth of little girls. Okay, come over here. You got to be a whole flock of girls, okay? Have you ever been a flock of girls before? Okay, it's like a flock of geese. You just got to be a bunch of them, okay, at one time. Can you clap your hands? Can you say, go, King, go! Try that.
Go, King, go!
Oh, man, she's got it. Brother, you keep her safe. She's going to make somebody a good wife someday. You just take good care of her. And go, King! Oh, boy. She looks out. She saw all that stuff going on. All the girls. She despised David for that. Why? Saul has slain his thousands. But David has what? Tens of thousands. Who said that? The people. And who? Directly. Who was singing that song? Women were, weren't they? Remember? The ladies. And King Saul heard that and he got jealous. Remember? Ever heard the words, "The lust of your father ye will do"? Ever remember that? Do you see this? Here's the girls again. This is years later. The girls are dancing. The girls are carrying on. Guess what's going on now? The same idea. You dance gloriously. And the very same criticism that Papa put way back over there when he was giving it before he gave her away comes out of her mouth now. And notice what he says. David responds to her, and David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father." You catch it? "And before all his house, and appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Let's hear it again. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul," read it. What does it say? Verse 23. I probably forgot to tell you where we are. Chapter 16 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 6. 2 Samuel 6, verse 23. I'm sorry. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul," 6:23. You there? Now she's going to take care of Aaron. Said right. She's going to take care of five later, which tells me something. That's another story, another sermon. But I'll give you the thought while we're here. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul," what does it say?
"Had no child until the day of her death."
Had no child to the day of her death. She gets her sisters five children later. But you know what that tells me? How many times have I seen this in the last several years? A woman can't have a baby. She still says, "I'm going to have a baby." Even have to go adopt them. I'm not against adoption, but you better dead sure make sure it's of God if you do it. Because if God's stopping the womb, He may be stopping it for a reason. God stopped her womb up. She's not going to have a baby. It's a very practical reason, though. You know why? Guess who's not the housewife anymore? You're gone. She's still a wife, but you're gone. Folks, I wished I didn't have to say this type of stuff. But there'll come a time you can break your marriage. No matter how much you're in love with your wife, no matter how much your wife is in love with you, things can change. And if you're not careful, you can break something. It will stay that way for the rest of your life. Housewife is gone. If you get that in mind in chapter 6, it may help you understand chapter 11 a little better when it comes to Bathsheba, doesn't it? Because let's face it, Bathsheba is going to become the new housewife. Things can get broken that cannot be fixed. You say, "Well, wait a moment, he could have forgiven her. Maybe David made a mistake here." Maybe. The Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, "Wives, see that you reverence your husbands." I wonder if that was in the back of the Holy Spirit's mind, this story. I've lived long enough now to look around and see some things that got broken. I've got two marriages in my mind right now. I saw them get broken by a wife. And there were very good women. Both cases, very good women. The marriages, I thought, had a special blessing ahead of them. My wife said to the husband there, "Listen, I'm just not lovey-dovey right now. Wait a few months." Oh, that's a good ground for the devil, isn't it? It's real good ground for the devil. Because an old co-worker calls up this man, starts talking to him, who's having trouble in her marriage. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. You know that little rhyme? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I sat with my son a couple weeks ago and I said, James, whatever you do, you take care of Emily. I said, you make sure 25 years from now it's going to be a lot better for you, for her at that point than it is today. You work on that marriage and you take that thing and you keep that thing safe and sound. You keep it safe because if it breaks, and it can break, my friend, you won't put it back together. So I'll pray and fast. Oh, you might live together, you might dwell together, but I'm telling you, you don't want to live with second best when you could have had the best if you took care of it in the first place. Amen? You be careful. Jobs and everything else can get in the way. I'll start the next little segment later on this because I'm going to have to go 3 messages on this thing and let you understand this is, folks, broken lives are all around us. David's not going to put this marriage back together. I'm going to let you be somebody special later, okay? I'll talk to you later about it. You can have a seat. Thank you, Cora. It's pretty heavy stuff. You young gals, you're dreaming of the day to get married, aren't you? You young guys, you're dreaming of the day you get married. Some of you have tentacles on your eyes trying to find your wife or find that man. Don't mess up your future. Be very careful. See, Saul said something. He said, Michael will be a snare. But she thought it was going to be a snare because of the foreskin. He thought there'd be a snare because of the foreskins. She was a snare later because she was her father's daughter. Jonathan Edwards. We like to talk about his family in the homeschool movements, don't we? Oh, yeah. We talk about him a lot. But they don't tell you this story. One young man came up to Mr. Edwards one day and said, Mr. Edwards, I would like the permission to court your daughter. Mr. Edwards said, request denied. Mr. Edwards, is there something in my life that you see that I don't deserve your daughter? He says, no, son. You're a wonderful young man. I don't think you deserve my daughter. I wouldn't wish her on you. You want to be careful who you marry. My dad had a saying, he told it to all of us. He said, if you make your bed hard, you got to sleep in it. He said, son, tonight you're getting married. You're welcome to visit, but you're not welcome to stay here any longer. Lonely man now, aren't you? It's a lonely man. She lost her cherished place, by the way. The Bible says from him, husbands, love your wives and be what? Not bitter against them. Wives, see that you reverence your husbands. To him, the counsel was, be not bitter against them. Greatest day of his life. He's excited, happy. He's come home to share something. She despised him. Now, that didn't happen overnight. You know that, right? just built up and built up and finally. But David still come home. He loved her. I'm telling you, he loved her. He's come home to have a party. Brother Rhody, to have a party. Sixty-five-year-old woman down in Old Forge, Pennsylvania. Marriage wasn't going too well. Husband wasn't spending much time with her. She got on the internet, got one of these chat sessions, you know, started chatting with a guy. I'm over in New Jersey. Never met him, never saw him. Packed her bags, getting ready to leave, and somebody heard that she was leaving. Got a hold of the pastor, and the pastor of her church came over and said, she was a deacon's wife. So where are you going? She says, I can't take it any longer with my husband. I've had it. No, you can't do that. 65 years old. In the internet. Chat room. Got her. Pastor's wife. Bored one morning. Somewhere, I believe, out in the Midwest area here. I'm not certain exactly, but out this way, I believe, somewhere. Bored one morning, went on just to see what's happening on her little social networking, and somebody saw her light was green. I guess that's the color it goes on, a green. Light was green, so a guy comes on. It was one of those adjutant friends and said, you know, can I be your friend? She don't even know she didn't even know the guy. Came on and said, hey, what you doing up this early in the morning? Husband's been out late again and all this, pastoring, and he's pastoring, and he's not around. Had to go get up early and get gone. I'm kind of lonely, just want to talk to somebody. He said, well, let's talk. Hey, how about meet me at a hotel? Temptation was strong. Happened so fast. What I'm trying to tell you is things can change. It can never be fixed. David did whatever he said, and God said she had no child to the day of her death. Do you realize what that would have meant? She was his first wife, first love. She was his first. He was her first love, and that's why I like to tie it to the Revelation. She left her first love. She left her first love. He didn't leave her. But he did remove her candlestick. Just like Revelation. It was removed. No light in her house now. No joy in her place now. All she could think about, I used to have David. He and I used to walk together in love and kindness. We used to spend time together. We loved each other. That's what we used to do. Folks, I wish that wasn't true, but I know all over this country and all over this world and different countries and everywhere, that story has resounded over and over again. Something broke something. Isn't that sad? It cannot be fixed. You don't want that. That's not your dream as a 17-year-old, is it? No. He's over here by himself. In the next story, we're going to find he's on the housetop praying. Spurgeon thinks. He's definitely on the housetop looking. And he sees another woman. I'm going to stop on this point. We're going to come back on that one. The session at 4, okay? Broken people. Broken people, broken lives. Is there any hope? I'll give you three words right now. Number one, repentance. Extremely important. You want forgiveness? You can't forgive unless you can understand brokenness. You've got to get a new start. You got some things in your past you're holding on to. Got things that you think, wow, I'll never be fixed. You can be fixed where you are today. Anew, forgetting those things which are behind. We'll show you how. Repentance. Number two, you've got to receive forgiveness. You've got to. See, under repentance, is if we confess our sins, right? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You've got to receive that forgiveness. You've got to believe He forgives you, don't you? Do you believe God forgives you? If you confess your sins, do you believe it forgives you? Some people don't. They walk around all the time thinking, they keep saying, God, please forgive me, God, please forgive me, God, please forgive me, God. And see, that's the condemnation of the devil. The number three, rejoice. As a matter of fact, you don't have to make that third point. It will happen. When you know you're forgiven, you're a happy man, aren't you? You're happy when you know you're forgiven. Think of those three words. That's the three I'm going to leave you with. I got to stop. And this is the hardest part of the message, I think, is getting through David's life, because David, there's a domino effect taking place now. And did it start right here when Michael despised him in the heart? I don't know. I used to think it was chapter 11, but it could be chapter 6. And it could have started back when the father-in-law said she will build a snare. And then he gives her away. But definitely, there's a domino effect in David's life. But there's hope still. Let me take you to the hope. I'll skip Bathsheba. I'll take you to Bathsheba being a new housewife. Told you. We're going to skip the death of Uriah. We're going to skip all of that stuff. He's got a new wife. You say, wait a moment, she's awful young. Remember, if you have a baby, you can't be king's wife. You couldn't remarry if you had a baby. Remember that? Uriah and her never had a baby. By the way, here's something I really believe. Do y'all believe every word of the Bible is true? What did Nathan the prophet say about Bathsheba? You remember the little story in chapter 12 there he tells? That she grew up as one of the children. Remember that in the story? Y'all don't remember it? Look at it real quick. Chapter 12. 2 Samuel. Because that's important, because that ministered to me more than anything I've read it a long time. Is that right? Oh, let me go back. Yes, chapter 12, Nathan the prophet. He says, look at verse 3. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. There you go. Which he had bought and nursed up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. Grew up with him and with his children. I want you to think something. Did she have a child? Uh-uh. Did Uriah have children? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. If you see, this illustration was so pointed, David knew what was going on when he read it, right? It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay at his bosom and was unto him as a what? Daughter. Folks, Bathsheba was probably not even 20 years old. David was about 45 to 50 years old, at least. So here, that's why I said you'll get to be something special, because this is special, believe it or not. In spite of everything that goes on, Bathsheba becomes the housewife. Uriah was more than likely, you know, Brother Tim, one of these young bucks, so they got married and David sent them back to his wife. They'd probably go have husband-wife time, you know what? But an older guy that's responsible wouldn't do that, would they? Uriah was a leader. Remember, he's one of the captains. His wife was young. It's the second wife. First wife probably died. That's all we can see, because we know he only had one wife now, so the other one is gone, out of sight. And this one's growing up with his children. Like a daughter, it says. But a pet. It's not unusual in the Jewish economy to do that either. You understand, they would marry, big differences there. And so, here she. That also explains why David wasn't so hard to live with as being an older man, too, because she was already prepared for it. You understand that? No children. Had to be that way. I mean, I'm just taking the illustration and saying there must be something to it. Older guy, so he says, no way, man. My guys are out there. Those young bucks fighting with me, they're out there in the field by themselves. I'm not going to go back and let them know that I've been with my wife and they can't be with theirs. That's not right. Now, a young man won't think that way usually. An older man will. But now she's his wife. I need two little boys. That little redheaded guy right there. I need two little boys. Little boys, little boys. And a little, oh, I wish I could use him, but he'll have a heart attack. Another little boy somewhere? You got one? Give me another little boy somewhere. Come on, Ezra. Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. Get on your knees. Folks, this little woman right here, you talk about hope. You talk about blessing. You talk about God can do. In spite of all this, Psalm 51 was David's psalm after all this mess, wasn't it? Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Here's my closing. Bathsheba has Solomon. Hi, Solomon. How you doing? Solomon has a long line of heritage after him. And you go to Matthew, you'll find that Solomon is in the lineage of Joseph. Wow. Isn't that something? Joseph, the stepdad of Mary. Stepdad of Jesus. Hi, Nathan. How you doing, buddy? Deep voice for a little kid, I'll tell you that. Now, she had more children, but she had a child named Nathan, too. Who was Nathan? The prophet. I love it when people don't cook preachers but name the children after them. Instead of frying them up for lunch every Sunday. This guy says, hey, they named a baby after Nathan. I think, anyhow. Right? Follow his lineage. Come on. Oh, that hurts. Follow the lineage. And right here, turn it around. Guess what you find his name. Where you find his name? In Luke. And guess what group he's over. Guess who comes from this guy? Mary. So when you look at the lineage of Jesus Christ on the political side and on the birth order side, on both angles, guess what? Bathsheba. And buddy, if you don't think that's mercy and grace and goodness and hope and blessing, I don't know what is. Because God put them both sides, right from King Solomon and from Nathan, his brother, makes it into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Either politically, setting up the kingship through the father, birth order, a brother. That's grace, isn't it? Bathsheba, you must be a pretty good gal. In spite of all they want to talk about and all the preachers that preached against you, little girl, I'm going to tell you something. You must be pretty special because when I get over the New Testament, the grace of God is seen. And I'm telling you today, I don't care how bad the past is, it might be you may have been broken. She loved Uriah because even the New Testament says the wife of Uriah. But she became the housewife of David. Isn't that something? Does that bless your gizzard, as we say down south? It sure blesses mine. To think the God of heaven can take and rebuild broken lives. If you got something broken in there today, forgiveness first. You forgive so you can forgive others. You forgive so you can forgive others. God forgives you if you can believe him. You may not be able to undo the past, but you can look to the future, starting right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, the broken lives of the Bible, we're so glad that you are the God of hope. And so many lives we see that's been messed up and tangled up as we begin to follow them through the Scriptures. There's that grace that you give to forgive and be forgiven and to grant forgiveness. God, teach us your very character so we can be like you in this area of forgiving. Brother Tim, there are some things in my life that just keeps haunting me. They plague me, my past. And I would like to get them to the cross of Calvary today and lay them down once and for all and start afresh. No, I can't undo the past. Some of my life is broken. But I believe God can give me a better future. I see it in David. I see it with the little girl. I see it with Samson. Even though it wasn't the best ending as far as we may look at, but it was the God says it was a great ending for Samson. Even so much, he puts him in the hall of fame, hall of faith, in Hebrews 11. Brother Tim, there's some things that I need to deal with before God. You raise your hand, anybody like that, just over this room? Anybody? God bless you, sister. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Start afresh. I mean, you got a God of hope. Anybody else? Anybody else? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Have you said, Brother Tim, there's some things in my... Amen. God bless you, my brother. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Past. Listen, let's get over that past so that you go into the future. Let God rebuild you from where you are today. Let God help you from where you are today. You're not perfect. I know that. But the God of perfection can come and begin to build like no master builder has ever built and make beauty out of ashes. Anybody else say, Brother Tim, there's something God is dealing in my life about? Just slip your hand up, back down. Amen. God bless you, sister. Beauty out of ashes. Father, for those who have raised their hand, we pray for them. For those who are still contemplating and thinking about what's being said, I pray, God, you'd give them hope. You'd encourage them. Let them have the grace of God working in their lives like never before. Father, I can tell the time's a solemn time. It's quiet in here today. God, I pray that you minister grace to each and every one that's seeking, even may not raise their hand, but are seeking in their heart before you. We ask in Jesus' name.